Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you?
People are giggling already at the mere mention of your name here.
Yeah, yeah. I know. If I think that is a compliment or not. And this is what you get for repeat guests.
Yes, exactly.
They know you too well.
Hey now.
You got a full house here today.
I do have a full house. So with no further ado, our
with no jokers in the pack here.
Yeah, right. Good luck with that one. This is The Rad Life. Joking is a necessity to just survive. I mean, we just deal with some topics. It's like if we can't laugh at them, it would just be, oh, my God, right? It's just very heavy. So returning guest, Tanya Brown. Hey, Tanya.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fabulous.
How you been? Good?
Yes. Busy as heck. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yes, busy, but changing lives and life's good.
You've been traveling, too, huh?
A lot. Yeah, a lot. And I'm really looking forward to next Sunday. Not this Sunday, but the next Sunday, because then I'm done for a while.
Is something big going on Sunday?
Yeah, just a lot of media right now. I've got, I'm meeting Steve Harvey, producer, tonight up in L.A. I've got an interview in Palm Springs tomorrow. And then I've got Las Vegas Fox News. And then I've got a college speaking boot camp. And then next Sunday, I can just, like,
relax. Until when?
The following Monday? One note.
Yeah.
Life's good. Life's really good.
That's Tanya. Sounds like everything is just normal.
Normal.
And with Tanya, we have Caroline Inman. Hi, Caroline.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I'm going to get to you in a minute here about your background because it's very interesting. Mm-hmm. And there's a bunch of stuff I want to talk to you about that's maybe senior industry related or relevant to seniors, because you actually have both the educational background and done quite a bit of teaching on different levels, right?
Correct.
And then also were involved in Irvine, the city of Irvine, as far as sort of senior services.
Right.
Right. And I want to talk about that not so much in terms of sort of the typical stuff we talk about seniors. I'm kind of interested to get an insight on what somebody like the city of Irvine, for example. Because you served on, I think, is it the city Senior Citizens Council or something of that nature?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's a city that's still kind of growing and building. Mm-hmm. And we have knowledge and, we've been educated the last 10 years on stuff differently than we had known before when it comes to seniors, mm-hmm. plus with the aging boomers. So I would be interested, and we'll get back to it, but we're interested mm-hmm. in find out how that somebody like the city of Irvine is basically preparing for that. Mm-hmm. And still drawing people into the community at different multi-generational levels because they're building towards the hills where a lot of Orange County basically is pretty much built out. I'm in San Clemente, and we're pretty much built out.
Right.
So we'll touch on that. But let's get to the first thing, which is why the two of you are in the same room here, actually, right? So I thought it was because you were co-authoring a book. It turns out your relationship goes beyond that, right?
Right. So, we've been working on speeches for, it's either six
years?
6 years, I think it is.
Seems like forever.
It does.
It's fabulous.
That's good. You know, good relationships, right?
Yeah.
Seems like it's forever, but it seems like it's just yesterday.
Yeah. You know, with Caroline, she actually has she has this skill because of her educational background and being a professor. She took my story and organized it in a way where it's relatable to other people. Uh-huh. So I'm just not sharing a sad story.
Right.
It's very organized, and I don't bounce all over the places anymore. And, I really recommend her. If you have a story, it needs to be organized.
No, you know, and I think you and I, Tanya, maybe a little bit more nonlinear.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm being kind of, you know,
just a little
very, very, very modest about that description. But I have people in my life that, you know, my wife is one of them. A good friend of mine, Mike Cotter, is another, that are more linear, mm-hmm. more organized. And I think the combination of that, when it's right, is actually pretty good because I'm not picking on the linear people, but a little mm-hmm. sort of non-planned
balance,
right?
Sort of surrender component right. is good and healthy yeah. at the same time as yeah. some organizational components yeah. is good and healthy.
Well, I taught public speaking in high school and college for a long time.
Yeah.
And one of the things we know about organization is that people perceive you to be smarter if your speech is organized than if it isn't. And that's a perception. The smart person can talk in right. an unorganized way or an organized way.
Right.
And then the other thing that's really important about it is that you remember it better if it's organized.
Because it has a structure to it,
it
that you can associate with.
Right.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I'm in a creative field. I'm an interior designer. And we do large commercial interior design projects. I've been at it now probably over 20 years. And I've worked mm-hmm. at large-scale projects, and I've had my own thing since 2003. But I'll tell you what's interesting for me, because that is a process, the process of sort of creating like that. Mm-hmm. It literally is, I equate it to being almost like coming up with a recipe.
Mm-hmm.
It's ingredients of all these elements come together to formulate
right.
some sort of taste, some
right.
sort of experience, right? And so for a field that is supposedly creative expression that doesn't have sort of it sort of bucks against organized, sort of
right.
controlled, confined kind of expression, at some point in that chaoticness, it has to transition to that organized.
Right.
Not only because you need to get these fleeting inspirations all kind of put together, but at the same time, you have to present that to somebody else
right.
and get
right.
them to get into that excited space with
right.
you.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot do that. I haven't been able to do that successfully or consistently or both in a sort of chaotic
right.
way. But you
right.
got to. But I also tell people you need to appreciate or come to the appreciation that there is a little thing that is beneficial with the chaos. That,
oh, absolutely.
Know, right.
Yeah. I think one of the reasons we're such a good team is that we do bring quite different things mm-hmm. to
right.
the table, both in terms of the things that we've done
yeah.
and the things that the way that we write or the way that we put a speech or a book or, you know, anything like that together. And we have our own little intergenerational thing going on right here.
Yeah.
You do, actually. Absolutely,
yeah.
you do, actually. Yeah. yeah. So I'm going to ask you this question because we asked it a while back, and the lady from Ageless Alliance,
mm-hmm.
She basically is now the question was this. For baby boomers, at one point you were yuppies. Right? And before that,
we're going to go
hippies.
Down this rabbit hole.
We are. Right. I'm being fair. I'm not going to bounce it on them in the last minute. I'm going to give them the whole show to think about it and then come back and end
it.
Because, you know, we're gonna start a board here.
Right?
I think we should. The question was this. We were talking about stuff, and we were talking about how baby boomers, regardless what the topic is, regardless what part of life, what intrigues them, you know, sort of the journey of aging, mm-hmm. if you will, okay, that baby boomers, we right now are redefining aging in such mm-hmm. a way that it may be through sort of trial and error experience, because there is no language since,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I think weren't you like a director of a forensic or mm-hmm. headed a forensics department for, mm-hmm. what was it, Cerritos?
Well, Cerritos, I was director of forensics,
yeah.
and at Mount San Antonio I was too.
Right.
And at Mount San Antonio we won the national championship of community colleges.
Now, for those who think forensics are, you know, Quincy.
Crime, right?
You know, dead bodies.
Yeah.
Dead bodies.
Why don't you explain to people what your forensics is?
Okay. Well, forensics actually means marshaling evidence to prove a point. So the TV person doing an autopsy or
right.
something is getting the evidence to take to show who did that murder
right.
or whatever it might be. In forensics that is actually older, we have the term first, it's getting your evidence for a debate or for a persuasive speech. And so you're getting evidence, you're doing research, you're talking to people, whatever you do,
right.
in order to make that speech that sound instead of just a series of opinions or whatever it might
go
be.
Go ahead, Paul. I can see you.
So you can build an argument by talking to people? Tell that to the politicians today. They don't build an argument. They just scream
no.
at each other here.
No. Well, that's one of the sadnesses for me, because I have been involved in some political things, and as a communicator and as a person who's helped people win national championships in forensics, in persuasion, in impromptu, in, you know, all of those events, there's
yeah.
like 14 different events, to see how it's done and how it's done by negativity instead of building argument. I would just love to see them have real debates, for instance, you present a plan. And
I'd love to see somebody stand up at the end of one of those debates and say, you know what, I came into this thinking one way and you changed my mind.
Exactly.
You know, and I'm just going to segue for a split second because I don't do that ever, right?
Never.
But I posted something. I have a group on Facebook, and we have about 2,000 people on it, and it's local to San Clemente.
We're trying to get Tanya some water. I'm trying to give you hand
okay.
signals.
I'm okay. I've just been battling a cough for the past year.
Oh, we got a long
past show. Year.
we have a long show,
for
so here, have some water.
Year. I'm good.
Yeah, I'm giving Rod hand signals, and he doesn't understand my water, sipping water.
No. What's that, baseball? Is that baseball? It's not tennis, right? Because tennis, you'd be thrown out of the court, right?
Yeah. Okay. Exactly.
Again, segueing one more time.
Wow.
So three segues back.
Where are we at?
Okay. Yeah. So this group that I set up on Facebook, I set it up actually August of last year, okay? And it was really, the point of it was to encourage... I guess this is where I'm at in my life, Paul, huh? I mean, it's to encourage dialogue.
Yeah.
Jeez. This was way before I met you.
Yeah.
So
you're on a trend here.
So we have about 2,000 people on this thing, and most of them are local to San Clemente. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, the discussions and the topics that come up, and there are certain guidelines. You know, you can't flame people. You can't, promote business. You got to
ask.
What
fun is that, then? That's the whole point of it.
You know what? Because I'm sick and tired of everything else being that way, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, this is my little fiefdom, and this is how I run, right?
Yeah.
Right. No free speech on that.
That's right.
So, but their guidelines are posted right up there, and, you know, you got to form a question to encourage dialogue, right? So the interesting thing for me is that we've had topics in such a way that I'm seeing people from certain camps. And it's almost the way that they have gotten themselves accustomed to be in life, right? To your point, Carolyn, about like a dialogue, a debate based on facts, or at least even if it's emotions, substantiated emotions, or being open to other people's perspective on it. So I posed a question today. I went down to the beach, I put my finger in the sand, and I formed a happy face with two dots, and I took a picture of sand, water, and a happy face in the sand, right? And I said, okay, so the definition of contentment is that you are satisfied, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So what is it? Do you feel that you're more content in life, or do you have more contempt in life?
Oh,
wow.
I love that when just an extra a letter changes the whole meaning of a word.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because
we're writing that one down.
She's writing it,
content
down.
Or contempt.
That's going to go in a speech.
Right? But, well, I've got plenty of them. So Paul's laughing. He knows.
I know.
Right. So, but that aspect of it, okay, is truly where you find ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I think with age and seasoning and, the likes of Paul and I refer to our gray in our beard and say this is our age and seasoning. But I think with age and seasoning, you're likely to maybe adopt one. Mm-hmm. Or get entrenched in the other.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that is where we are as a society. And with that being said, anything we talk about, anything we try to absorb or discuss or investigate or, you know, try to delve into, if we're filtering it through one or the other, is going to predetermine where we end up with
it. So I'm going to ask your guest a question because we were talking about this before you guys arrived. She was saying how she was bemoaning the destruction of interpersonal relationships because we don't sit and talk anymore. And so we are just strangers sitting in little cubicles somewhere sending little funny faces and notes to each other here. So my question is the answer to content versus contempt, does the danger lie in our forms of communication? Or is there one that will promote content?
Content.
We're trying to create content here with these long-form discussions. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah. And you know what? One of the tools in my personal memoir is limit technology use. Mm-hmm. You know, even today I went over across the street and business partners, okay, or husbands and wives or partners, and they're all on their cell phones and they're texting and they're laptoping, and I'm just like, does anybody even talk anymore?
No.
Yeah.
And go to a restaurant and watch. Occasionally, after work, I'll go get a beer or something, have a happy hour here and wind down, and I'll watch people lined up at the long bar there, And they're all texting to each
all
other.
All of them. Yeah. And you know what? I firmly believe that's why we're seeing an increase in depression, mm-hmm. anxiety, mm-hmm. suicides. More kids are on psychotropic drugs now.
Yeah, that's right.
Really, who I would love to have on the radio show is Dr. Tucker, Lawrence Tucker from the Amen Clinic. Mm-hmm. And for anybody who doesn't know Daniel Amen, you need to know him.
And what's his wife's name is?
Tana.
And we had her on a long time
ago. She's awesome.
Yeah.
I hate her because she's absolutely perfect in so many ways. I'm like, really?
Wow, there's contentment for
really?
You.
I'm like, do you really look that good?
She looks pretty amazing, I have to say. I've met her in real life here. And she's nice.
I mean, it's like one of those people that you try to find something that's wrong and there's nothing wrong because she's just so cool. Yeah. But I had a meeting with Dr. Lawrence Tucker over there, and I really respect him because he makes sure when he meets with a patient or a client, he really wants to identify if all the areas of the person's life mm-hmm. is in balance. So mm-hmm. that's everything from recreational, family, social, spiritual, environmental, making sure that all the areas in your life are balanced.
Because how can you fix one if the others are going to tug you apart
Think of a scale, right? The judging scale.
No, it's true. And the thing about that, though, is this.
We have Rod's reinforcement. He says it's true now here.
I can do better. It's true.
But really fast, but I think with Dr. Tucker, I asked him, why are we seeing an increase in all this chaos? Mm. You know, in violence included, domestic mm-hmm. violence included, murders, homicides, all of this stuff.
Overall violence.
Overall mm-hmm. violence.
ISIS and everything.
You know what he said?
Worldwide violence.
You know what he said?
No.
Our brains are stressed.
Mm-hmm. It's true. That simple.
It was that simple. And I said, and now I quote that everywhere I go, mm-hmm. our brains are stressed. Mm-hmm. And I think that the dialogue really needs to happen. I think we're in such a me society. What mm-hmm. can you do for me? Can you help promote my business? Can you help me promote mm-hmm. this and this? Instead of saying, hey, how are you?
Mm. Well, when was the last time most people actually said still long enough? Right? I mean, you're constantly needing to accomplish the next thing, to climb the next mountain, to, right? Now, if that isn't the antithesis of the word content, okay, I don't know what is, right? And everything else feeds into that, right? I mean, it's not like we don't know this stuff. It's not like we don't get bombarded with indicators of this stuff all the time. Surrender, okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Still, mm-hmm. yoga.
Mindfulness.
What are you going to do? I'm going to go to yoga.
Slow down.
Okay? But I'm going to fit yoga between the two most stressful things of my day because that's going to make me calm.
Or you bring your cell phone to yoga.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
You're in downward dog or child pose and you're texting your mom.
Well, you're there. I mean, you might as well. What are you going to do in down dog other than text your mom? Right?
You know,
don't go there, Paul.
I think
oh my goodness. My mind's racing. Okay.
I think there's another thing too about it that is that I've always been extremely, as an interpersonal teacher, I've always been extremely worried about people that are isolated. I think isolation, and I think it's really mm-hmm. easy in the modern world to be isolated.
Oh, absolutely, regardless of age, actually.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. My father-in-law came to town 40 years ago and said, "Where's the downtown?"
Uh-huh.
And I explained to him that there wasn't any downtown.
Yeah.
And he,
you mean Main Street Disney?
That wasn't even around 40 years ago.
Yeah. Fake downtowns.
But, you know, he was from Bridgeport, California. Yeah. There's a downtown.
Yeah.
And he kept asking me, "Could we go to the downtown yet?" Well, the point being that we have lots of houses and lots of things to do and lots of schools and even parks, but we don't have gathering places.
Sense of belonging.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sense of belonging.
So, you know, I can live. Oh, and he said something about the first thing was, well, just leave the, because we were working, leave the key with the neighbor. And I said,
my neighbor.
We don't know our neighbors.
Right. Yeah.
You know, we were kind of.
Yeah, who are they? Point them out to me here.
And they wouldn't be home either because they're all working. And so it's.
Interesting.
But that is an old story and it's, you know, hundreds of times worse now.
Can I give you an interesting segue from that? When I created this internet talk radio station or live podcasting or whatever you want to call it, one of the things that occurred to me is we have the potential here mm-hmm. to live up to the promise of the internet, which was to bring communities together, to create mm-hmm. virtual spaces where we could,
right.
either by interest or geography or something, we could collect. I think of it as an online campfire where people gather to share stories, because that's the only physical image I could remember. I don't remember town squares, but, you know, people could get together right. at the beach around a campfire mm-hmm. and you'd sit there for hours and tell stories. You
yeah.
know?
And now the internet, even though it's gathering people that you haven't seen in 50 or 60
right.
years or
yeah.
10 years Facebook. Or whatever, it's bringing people together, but yet more people are isolated.
Yeah. I just got a text message from my, as she refers to herself, linear wife.
Linear wife.
She says, do you hear that, babe? Your brain is stressed.
Love your wife.
It resonated.
Take that
there.
To the road. I love it.
Thanks, honey. Yeah. Loud and clear. Hear you. Okay. And I got three people in the room that agree with
I'll
you.
I'll tell you another interesting thing I saw. And years ago, in another lifetime, it seems ago, I owned an Irish pub in Mission Viejo called Kelly McHugh's. I was one of the partners in it because I'm Irish. And
I remember that.
Oh, it was a fun place. We was around for about 10
Is it a clear memory time?
No.
Okay. Hazy.
Fake ID
that's a good Irish pub.
And when we set out the demographics in the business plan, we thought, okay, it's going to be, you know, 30, 40-somethings here. We had an amazing number of 50, 60, and 70-somethings mm-hmm. that came down. And why? Because they were isolated. Mm-hmm. They were alone. Mm-hmm. They were up mm-hmm. in their houses in Cota de Caz
right.
or other places.
Right.
And they had all the money in the world, but they were divorced right. or death or whatever, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. they were alone.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a study that's actually been going around, and I got it through – I do a lot of day spas and medical spas, mm-hmm. so I got it through that part of the side of the industry. But there's a study going around – that's getting a lot of play with people because it basically says spend your money on things
right.
that give you experience.
Right. Mm-hmm. I saw that.
Right.
I saw that.
Not
yes.
things that are material.
Right.
And
right.
here's one of – I was reading this thing, and we've always – our moniker has always been on the design side. The company is, mm-hmm. you know, we don't design interiors. We design experiences,
experience.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Interesting thing is what I learned from that article when I read it. One of the things was that when people actually go and have an experience, that you find yourself accidentally having an experience mm-hmm. or you purposely somehow shoot wide and end up getting a personalized experience and come back, like on a trip or something, right? Here's the interesting thing. The interesting thing is it turns out that when you buy stuff, over time, your appreciation for the stuff mm-hmm. becomes less.
Decreases. Mm-hmm.
When you go yeah. have an experience, mm-hmm. over time, your appreciation of the experience
oh, wow. sure.
gets better.
Yeah.
Because you distill out of it the stuff that wasn't the good water or that one meal that didn't really pan
right.
out. Or
right. And you don't remember it
right.
anyway.
You
really.
Remember, but you, what,
remember
you,
the
but what you do remember in the experience is the positive of the experience.
Yeah.
Now, we all know this, right?
We saw this at the bar. People would come and tell
right.
us, it would magnify. Somebody would do something funny. And by a month later, it
oh,
was the most
right.
hilarious
right.
thing in the world. And everybody's
yeah.
talking about, did
yeah.
you see old Joe? And he did. And I'm like, I was there. It wasn't that funny.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
But it was an experience and it brought joy to the table. You know, yeah. my boyfriend's significantly older than me, and we drive to Tucson. It's easy. It's easy to hop on a plane and fly, but no, mm. we choose to drive 7 hours
oh, cool.
because it's an experience. Mm-hmm. And when you are slow and you're chilled out and you're not worrying about the phone, laptop, mm-hmm. kids, dogs, whatever,
right.
it's like it is such a great experience.
Yeah.
And he actually brought that word to the table because I was like, I never really thought of yeah. experience before because I am younger. I figure, you know what, I'm not into things.
Well,
but
you're like, what, 22 or something?
Yeah, 20, 21.
21, okay.
21. I'm 29 again.
Is she legal?
Six,
can
six
she
times,
be on the radio?
Six yeah, times, six times over 29. Wasn't I 29 last year? But anyway, he goes and he takes his kids on vacations because he wants them to grow up with life mm-hmm. experiences. Mm-hmm. And I never really got the mm-hmm. word experience up until maybe about a year ago.
Right. Now I'll give you another thing that occurred to me. I'm then I'll let your guests jump in. Experience, someone taught me a long time ago, is the basis for friendship.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, how do you build friendships? It's not just hanging
common
out
experience.
Common experience. You're in school
right.
together. You're in the army together.
Right.
You're in a team together. You're at a church together. Whatever it is,
right.
you
right.
do something
so,
together.
So when, okay, and I don't know that there's an answer there, but when did the word experience that meant that
right.
become a word that you basically formulate in the terms of some sort of breakdown timeline on your resume?
Right.
Oh, when did the word experience stop being what you experience?
Wordplay here. Experience turned into.
I got a forensic expert in the room. Of course I like wordplay. What are you talking about? It's like.
So the experience of your life didn't become the experiences you've been through. It's a timeline simply of all the things you did and when you did them. I did this for 10 years. I did this for 5 years. Rather than the, what did I do during that 10 years?
Well, and I'll go one more level, and I'll say, okay, what other than when you put your words on a resume where you basically document your experiences, which are work-related
work experience,
right? When, because it doesn't say work experience, by the way, on a resume. It says experience.
Right.
You don't use the word work experience. There's no differentiation. Right. In our minds now, experience is what I did for work over the last 20 years.
How sad.
So other than documenting it on a piece of paper called a resume, when was the last time any of us actually sat down and wrote our experiences, unless we're doing a memoir?
Life experience.
But that's what, in a certain sense, Facebook and places like that were supposed to do, where you chronicle these things and share them with people over time.
Well, we do it. We do it. Yeah. We do it.
Social media.
We do it. We do it. And why? Okay, we do it. This is cool. This is really a journey of discovery here today. Okay?
Wow.
It really is, though, and it's important.
Okay, we do do that. We just don't do it in writing. What we do it in is the picture of the meal I just had.
Yes.
Right.
Okay, it's
right.
on my timeline on Facebook. Uh-huh. It's the person I basically just, you know,
the picture we took here
had
today.
A drink and cheered. The picture we took here today. That's how we document experiences.
But,
and yet, look at all how people
She's
are addicted to that.
In. She's got some ideas.
She
here.
Does.
Look at how people are addicted to that, to the point where they have a selfie stick. Right.
Yeah.
But it's crazy, right? But that's exactly it. We are documenting experiences
for experiences, and we're hungry to hold on to them.
Right.
Go ahead,
Carolyn.
Okay. Well, first of all,
lots to throw at you.
The resume.
This is good.
The resume is a shorthand, because if I'm reading a resume and I see that somebody was, this is probably an old reference, had been in the Peace Corps, I know something
about... The Peace
about,
Corps, are they still around?
I don't think so.
Hey, I served in the AmeriCorps, that's the domestic Peace Corps. That wasn't that long
okay,
ago.
So if you see that, you know a lot about that person.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you see that the person has traveled widely, you know things about them.
You
know, so it's not just a word or to document what happens between this day and that day,
right.
or, you know, dates or something. It's, you just know a lot about it. And then the other thing I was thinking that was really interesting is I love to travel, and I've been to London for like 7 times, usually to see plays. And then maybe do
It's a long way to go to see
a
play.
Right?
Well,
no,
but cultural Orange County is still
in the West. Yeah. We have the Performing Arts Center.
Yeah,
I know. I see plays there too, but I like to see them in old theaters, you know, by
the old
London troops. And it's fascinating to me. At least now, I haven't been there for a few years, but when I was there, it's fascinating to me that the pub thing at the end of the day is something that hadn't been given up, at least at that time.
No, it's still there.
Yeah. And so I'm thinking, why do they do that? And there's all these men, and why they should just go home and be with their families. They are sharing their day, you know, and I picture it as being like in the Old West. Did they have to check their guns at the door?
Well, we should saloon,
just check our phones at the door and go in and visit with people. Oh. And, you know, we do that in certain kinds of socialization, but we're usually trying to raise money for somebody or something.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it isn't what they're doing.
So two things that I've seen over the last 2 years that were worth, I think, mentioning here is there's such a need. I'm going to say it's a need. It's not a choice, really. Okay, to disconnect.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
a deep need.
Yeah. That has a physical. If you don't, has physical ramifications of stress and everything else you can think of comes into your life.
You have to plug out. You got to pull the plug once.
Well,
in a while.
You know, you used to send a letter and wait for a week to get a response, and you had downtime, right?
Right, and if you wanted to make a call, you actually had to wait till you got home on your rotary dial phone. And I don't know about you, but I always like put my finger in that little thing, and I was always trying to make it go faster. But you know what? It's this morning. Perfect example. Okay, so I'm in my car this morning before I got ready. My phone. I realized when I got into the house, my phone was in my car. And there was a brief moment there, a split second, where I was
like,
oh, my God, my phone.
I forgot my phone.
And then I was like, forget about it. You know what? I'll get it when I get
Did
back into the car.
Did you say forget it or another F word?
Forget about it.
It's a little Italian, and I get it.
You know, it's not the end of the world if you right. are disconnected from your phone for a bit.
But you actually have a
And my stress level right. was actually
But when you got home, did you rush to go check your messages?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you're really
Well,
radical.
What is it? What is the definition of addiction? Is something or
insanity?
Let's not say addiction. Habit?
Yeah. yeah.
Is
mm-hmm.
something you do repeatedly mm-hmm. for 30 days?
Right.
Yeah, I think yep. the phone thing is over 30 days now for
yeah.
most people, right?
Yeah. yeah.
But I will just share this, and then we're going to go to the break, is there was one very cool thing that I saw, and it was out of Cupertino. I mean, it was out of Silicon Valley, okay? And it was basically they were having an event, and the event was Disconnect and Connect was the title of the event.
Love it.
So you actually were bringing in people that were tech-savvy in a tech environment, the hotbed of technology and development, and you were saying, check your phones at uh-huh. the door in order mm-hmm. to connect.
Right.
That was the title on the poster,
Love
right?
it.
That was a couple of years ago. Last couple of months, I came across this thing that, you know, got plastered on my Facebook thing from who God knows why. But basically, it's a pepper mill, the good old-fashioned yes. pepper mill, right? Uh-huh. Now, the pepper mill actually was not a pepper mill.
The thing pepper that you mill, grind the pepper
yeah,
out
Yes,
of?
The okay. big grind, you know, may right. I, would you like some pepper on your steak, Mr. Yeah. Gantis, you know, how coarse is the peppers? Okay, well, this thing is not, I'm getting hungry. This thing was not a pepper mill. What it was is you turned it, and when you turned it, it actually sent a pulse across the depth and width of a dining table that basically turned off any connection.
I love it. I want one.
For electronic devices.
I want one.
It killed it. It was like an EMP pulse, basically, that basically just killed. Now, kids, do not use this for other purposes
right.
because I can see where that's going, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But basically, somebody developed something so that the family could actually sit around the dang dining table
yes.
and actually have no tablets, no
love
phones,
it.
Whatever
wow.
on the dining
right.
table.
You know, nothing bugs me more. I mean, I understand that you just kind of, moms need downtime and they need to tune the kids out sometimes. I get that. I was a nanny for many years for my nieces and my nephews, but nothing really bugs me more when there's like that DVD in the back of their SUV.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, y'all? That is a perfect time to connect with your kids. There's no interruptions. You're quiet.
Right.
There's
yeah.
you get to connect. I mean, nothing bothers me more when people don't take the time and then they're like, oh my gosh, where did the 5 years go?
Right.
How come I didn't see that happen with
yeah,
my kid?
Right.
Open up your eyes.
Well, and people,
take the time.
People
yeah.
you ask them later, and they say, you know, well, do you have any regrets? And the regret is I work too much,
right?
And
right.
Basically,
right.
didn't spend enough
right.
time seeing my kids
right.
grow up.
Yeah,
yeah.
Hey,
was...
we got to connect with our sponsor here.
Okay, go ahead and connect.
Go ahead.
All right.
If you are like the majority of Americans, you want to continue living in a familiar environment throughout your maturing years. In fact, according to many surveys, 82% of homeowners overwhelmingly prefer to age in place, which means living in their current homes safely, independently, and comfortably, regardless of age or ability level. With over 30 years of combined experience in residential, commercial, hospitality, and destination resorts fields, Your Home for a Lifetime is a company dedicated to empowering you to maintain your quality of life and independence by helping you make your house your home for a lifetime. Do you want to reorganize or remodel your home? Do you want to add a full bathroom and possibly a bedroom on the main floor? Are you looking to make your kitchen more functional? Is an aging parent moving in, or your child is moving out, or even moving back in? Call Your Home for a Lifetime at 949-492-1872 or check them out on the web at yourhomeforalifetime.com and find out how they can help you make your house your home for a lifetime.
All right, let's reconnect now here. Everybody take a deep breath.
Okay. Actually, can we sponsor debt airtime?
Yeah, we should just not talk for a second.
Like a spa, maybe sponsor minute of silence on the radio.
Let's do it.
So is the baby boomer going, are we going to rediscover how to reconnect in this last stage of our life, or are we going to frantically run off and be frazzled and brain burnout and everything else? Are we going to seek real human contact again?
Well, I think we are, because we've said this before on this show, I think we are programmed as human beings mm-hmm. for that. Whether we seek that human contact in the form of, I'm hanging out with my buddies that I knew from high school but are all scattered all over the planet, and basically what we do is we share that half an hour every week or an hour playing in a World of Warcraft or mm-hmm. Halo or whatever, kind of multiplayer platform. or it's getting together over a cup of coffee physically in one location, or Skyping. I mean, people Skype all the time. I think one of the things with seniors is a lot of the senior centers or living facilities, they have what they consider themselves like cutting edge, is that they actually have a couple of stations that have Skype attached to it, so the grandparents can see the grandkids and talk to them.
But sadly, I think we've got a lot of lonely, isolated people.
Yes,
I don't know that's going down.
Well, it can only
up.
Satisfy so much. I think because what's missing is when we say connect, it's the same as experience. The word connect isn't just connect in terms of I'm seeing you across the screen.
Right.
Okay?
We've got to share something.
There's a shared thing. There's a touch component to it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why do we go spend over $100 an hour for a massage?
Right.
Okay, because there's a point of contact and touch. There's
one of the ways tribes, we all know that's the popular term these days for these virtual groups and stuff here, is there have been books written called Tribes and all this stuff. One of the ways the tribes always made you feel connected and part of the group was storytelling. Let me tell you the ancient stories of how we did it.
Around the fire. Yes.
Come on over here, kid. Let me tell you how we used to do it around here.
Right.
Around the fire. I don't know why fire is so primordial or something here, but... I think this medium is a way of doing some of that. It doesn't substitute for real face-to-face interaction. Mm-hmm. I get that. But in a world where we are pulled apart, it's a help.
Okay. So with that being said, I mean, I think we've talked about it, and anybody who's listening in understands. And for those who have joined us after the break, our guests today are Carolyn Inman and Tanya Brown. Tanya has been here before, and we talked about a completely different topic at the time. But the importance of communication, the importance of contact, okay, the importance of shared experiences, those are all things that we as a society are basically getting maybe further away from. Mm-hmm. Maybe if I'm being positive, we're redefining, okay, how we do that. But we are potentially at risk of losing something, okay? And when that breaks down, certain things happen that are not necessarily healthy,
right?
And so one of the reasons why you ladies are here is because you are actually co-authoring a book together called The 7 Characters of Abuse. Seven Characters of Abuse. In my mind, when you have a breakdown of all these things that we were talking about, is when you start having those situations where that manifests itself in relationships, whether they be marital relationships, whether they be parent-child relationships, all these things. And at that point, you start getting things like resentment. You start getting things like, distance. You start getting a breakdown of connectivity, and it manifests itself in ways that are silence, that are maybe more abusive. So I know that we've had people here before.
That's a pretty bold statement. We should stop and look at that. Are you really saying that abuse can spring forth from isolation and anger?
Yes, because guess what? You're no longer a person that I have an intimate connection with, whether it be physical or otherwise.
You're a video game person.
You are now a person that is basically I'm disconnected from. Therefore, my outrageous behavior as a reaction to you is more palatable to me as acceptable than if I had a personal contact and a sense of intimacy, if you will. And I'm not using these words in a sexual manner, but a sense of intimacy in relationship with you. If I don't have that, then you're just a stranger to me.
Right. Yeah.
I think most importantly, it's losing that connection that you have with yourself, because many people, they're angry, they're resentful because you said those big words. We live in a society where we harbor a lot of our past resentments, our past anger, our past negative life experiences. And guess what? If you don't talk that stuff out, you're gonna release it on some level, whether that's through hitting somebody, kicking the dog, kicking the cat, slapping your kids, maybe boozing it up, popping pills, whatever it is.
Yeah, self-medicating, whatever
exactly.
You need to do.
And those are like the three things that we all need to avoid, is like the isolation, the self-medication, and also suicidal thoughts, because domestic violence and abuse, when you're a victim of this, whether it's emotional or physical, mental, financial, whatever that is, you think your only way out really is to do yourself in.
Wow.
And so that's where I like mental health, domestic violence, it all goes together. And it pretty much all starts when we don't have appreciation, love, respect, and that true, authentic love affair with ourselves first.
You know, and I'm not trying to put the burden on everybody to be perfect and aligned when communicating all the time, right? I mean, we had a perfect example happen for anybody who was listening. I had my headset off, but during the break, we actually played the outer, the closing versus the commercial.
Did I play the closing?
Yes, you played the commercial, oh, closing goodness, versus the commercial. So I have a perfect opportunity here to really be ticked off at Paul and feel a breakdown in our communication. Or actually just say, you know, I have a patience and an understanding in that there's a human factor that will play out in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And, oh, well, we'll laugh about it and we'll learn from it. But when we don't have that, our relationships suffer.
Yeah.
And then they formulate or they express themselves in ways that are, to your point of your book, abusive.
Right.
Now, the people listening to the podcast won't know what we're talking about because I'm going to fix it. I'm going to put the commercial back in.
See, we learned from it already.
Carolyn had created a speech for me on domestic violence, and in it, but before we actually created the speech, I came to Carolyn frustrated because I said, I'm like, people aren't getting it. They still think abuse is a hand across the face or a physical assault, and it's not. I said, Carolyn, we're not reaching people. It helped me. And so she had just gone to Disneyland with her grandkids, and then masterminding, and we said, you know what, why don't we come up with 7 characters of abuse that indicates other areas of what's considered domestic violence, preceding the physical assault. So we have everything from the financial, you know, the isolator, the money monger, the pseudo parent. So all these characters that we've talked about and tapped into the book have absolutely nothing to do with physical violence. And I think people really need to learn those beginning signs, especially our youth. And maybe even just like lonely people, because it's like we just want to connect with people. And sometimes when you're down and out, you'll connect with anybody. That happened with me right after Nicole was killed. Right. I connected with an abusive boyfriend, not physically.
Not safe people.
Yeah. And when you're in that vulnerable state, nobody is immune to this.
What draws people into these characters, though? What's their appeal when you meet one of these characters? Why doesn't our natural radar go off and we say bad?
That's why we're sharing this book, because without knowing the signs, we don't know, because then we just go into life blindly.
So share some of those characteristics.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the first one, for instance, is the jealous stalker. And what happens is a form of stalking. I think it's especially younger women, but probably any age. I feel as a young woman, I don't feel this way, but you know, the young woman often feels that he texts me 60 times while I'm at school. He loves me so much that he wants to know where I am all the time. And, you know, it's amazing how many college girls and late high school girls think this.
Today.
Yeah.
Today.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're flattered by the attention.
Right.
Yes.
That's it. They're flattered by the attention.
And he loves me. And what he's really doing is saying, where are you? How come you aren't home yet?
Who are you hanging out with?
Who are you with? And so,
what are you doing?
It's not love. And I think that's a really important thing. Jealousy cannot be misconstrued as being love.
Right.
It's love.
And yet people do it all the time.
It's power and control.
Right. People do it all the time.
And that's why we wrote the book, is because we want to, it's not a book, I'm the debater, but it's not a book with sore sights or anything like that. It's stories of women, and we're hoping that women will, of all ages, will read them and say, well, I do that. I thought that was love.
Right.
You know?
Or that happened to me and I thought that was love. And now I share my personal experiences in some of these different characters because, you know what? I've had my share of winners. Oh my God. But whatever. I mean, I'm human. But I wanted to be, you know me, I'm very candid. I'm very open. Whatever you want to know about me, I'll share. And I believe in doing that, and I will never stop doing that because I want people to relate. And I also share Nicole's diaries in here as well, because I want people to really understand that this is very real. And if you don't catch it in the early signs, it will go to physical violence without a doubt.
So in your sister, should she actually keep diaries where she started documenting some of this stuff she saw in OJ?
Since 1978, my sister documented in her diary.
Wow.
And she hid it.
Wow.
Yeah, she hit it with pictures.
And Tanya, just to give people a timeline perspective, when did Nicole pass away?
Oh, in 1994, June 12th, 1994. Yeah. So it's been 21
years. That's a long time to document abuse. Mm-hmm. Personal.
Wow. Now, did she recognize in there that this was abuse or that this was not healthy?
She just documented her feelings. She documented when the no-shows. She documented things that were said to him, the verbal abuse. She did recognize. I don't share all of her diaries because I don't want people to know. It's ugly. It's really ugly. She was aware, but what people don't understand is that you can't judge victims of domestic violence because they cannot just pick up and leave. Mm-hmm. These are not rocky relationships, passionate relationships. We have to really look at abusive relationships as potential murder cases because that's where they end up. And I'm not joking. Like, this is where they end up. So I wanted to create this book with Carolyn. Because I want people to know what are those beginning signs, and jealousy is so huge.
Right. It's a big one.
Because people are starving for attention, like what you were saying, mm-hmm. and if I can get that from anybody. You know, and we see a lot of it in the college, when they're off to college, because that's their first time away. They want their first beer, their first sexual relationship, their first boyfriend or girlfriend, and it goes both ways.
Right, and it doesn't necessarily have to, it doesn't mean that a person did not have attention growing up. It could also be a point in your life where you are maybe in need for that extra attention, and it comes in an unhealthy manner.
See, Nicole, we never, ever heard my mom and dad fight, like, ever. Really, we have an Ozzie and Harriet kind of family, or we used to. I mean, over the past, like, 2 years, it's been nuts. But for the most part, growing up, mom and dad never fought. We were always eating dinner at the kitchen table, always together. So you could just imagine, why Nicole? Like, why? And we didn't even know who OJ was. We're girls. Yeah. You know, we didn't know who he was.
OJ Simpson was? Oh, my goodness.
We didn't know.
One of the most famous football players of all time.
But we're girls. We're girls. We didn't even know. But I think the victim is the only one inside that home. Mm-hmm. That knows exactly what's going on.
Right. Yeah.
To the outside world, they look like they're happy and healthy together. And life's together.
Yeah.
But inside the home, if you ever leave me, I'll kill you.
Well, look what's going on with the... I'd love to hear the inside story of what's happening on the Cosby household these days. Now it comes out, they unsealed this document. Yeah. We're taping this in early July, and they just finally got this... He settled one of these sexual assault cases... that was taken to court, and he admitted on the stand that he was buying Quaaludes to have sex with girls, young girls.
Yeah.
And they had then fought to seal this after the settlement in the case, and a judge reopened it specifically because, he said, you have held yourself out as a morally superior person. We think this is worth adding to that discussion.
Yeah. The pseudo parent.
Yeah.
So jealousy is one. What else?
Okay, the pseudo parent, which you just mentioned, is really important. We've been talking about them a little bit off here. And the pseudo parent is, we start off by saying that a really good parent nurtures and supports their child and all that sort of thing.
Right.
When there is domestic abuse, there is, you know, tremendous effect on children. I think one of the and perhaps I misunderstand it, but one of the phrases I really dislike is, well, children are resilient, as it meaning what?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They can go through anything and be okay? That's simply not true. And so when children are in domestic abuse, especially after it gets to battering, but when they're in all of that, then there's one example in the book of how this woman was talked to and so forth. She had a rich husband, and they had lots of nice things, and the children had things, and she didn't leave. And she said she didn't leave because of the children. And what we have in the book is she didn't understand that she was raising a potential abuser and a
potential repeats itself.
Victim.
And to add to that, you know, abusive people are, they've got, you know, let's use OJ for an example, people. Mm-hmm. Would you ever have thought that he would have done this?
No. His public persona was completely the opposite, like the nicest guy in the world.
Right? Yeah. Charismatic. Well, he was like everybody. He was just... You know, charismatic. Everybody liked him.
Bill Cosby, you just mentioned
same
thing.
Oh, Cosby, Mr. Huxtable,
America's father,
America's dad.
And
you know,
for so long.
So just because nothing bugs me more when people go, oh, you know, if they see an actor on the silver screen and somebody says, oh, they looked like such a nice person, and I'm just like. I bet they're so nice. I'm like, really?
The 10 o'clock news. The neighbor of the person who just, you know, the fridge the psycho, had, like, you know, cut heads in it or something.
Right?
He seemed like such a nice guy.
He was so nice.
I know.
Well, you know, watch out for all these, the perfect people, because perfect people and people on the silver screen, people on the basketball courts, the football field, you guys, look, we're seeing it. Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson, they're, you know, I just hope that they get help. In fact, my next book, I want it to be for the batterer, because if we don't start with the batterer, this thing's not going to stop.
Who's the college football player that just the other day was caught punching this girl at the bar? I forgot.
Holy cow! I didn't hear about that.
Yeah,
oh yeah,
I saw it.
It's on. They're playing it all over the news. And basically, what it is, she looks. Again, I'm taking my viewpoint of what I saw the video. She looks like she's a little intoxicated. She starts mouthing off to him, and she sort of pushes him back or takes a swipe at the guy and misses him, and he decides. He's going to just
slug her,
and he just cold cocks her right there. And
walk away. What happened to that?
Yeah, and his defense is she was saying mean stuff and racial stuff and everything. She obviously looks like she's drunk, and you could just say, okay, fine, whatever, go on.
Exactly.
Like that was ever an excuse to take action against anybody, honestly.
And in fact, when I went to law school, that was one of the things that shocked me. There are no words in the English language that allow you to strike somebody.
Exactly.
None. You can't say, well, he called my wife a whore, I know, or your mother whatever.
But again, Paul, it goes back to any kind of abuse, any kind of even, you know, where you're marginalizing that other person.
Right.
It's a lot easier to do that when you don't have a connected, communicative relationship between that and an internal understanding that is the kind of person you want to amplify in terms of relationships. Yeah. You don't want to be that person that basically disconnects and allows that to be okay with you.
When did we stop talking so much? And when did we start just immediately thinking, if you say something to me, I have to, you've challenged me, I have to fight back.
I have to hit you.
I have to hit you.
You know, Jack Canfield,
ask questions later.
One of my favorite books is The Success Principles by Jack Canfield. And in it, he uses the example, the E-R-O. There's an event that happens, and you have a split second between the E and the R that determines either a positive or a negative outcome.
Right. Yes.
So I'm going to add to that, too, where it's like our goal is to create a response, not a reaction.
And
so
I'm going to say that, having never read that book, I know the guy threw his Chicken Heart for the Soup series and stuff, but it seems like you almost have to program that reaction in there in the same way that when you're driving a car and a kid jumps out in front of you, you don't even think. You hit the brake. You've programmed yourself to quickly react. So if your program response is between the event and the reaction to smack you, hit you, fight, then you're going to do that before you even think about it.
Yeah, you're already pre-programmed to react that way.
That seems to be where we're at today.
Well, that's why we're here, to educate our listeners and our communities where, you know what, slow down. Like I said, our brains are stressed. And when our brains are stressed, we drink, we pop pills, we do, you know, crazy things.
We try to get extra energy and hours out of a day that has limited number of hours.
The more you say that, though, I just want to smack you.
Exactly.
No. You can leave the room.
You're making me so mad.
Isolation.
Okay. Well, the isolator.
We got about 3 minutes left.
Okay. This will be quick. Yeah. The isolator gets the female away from anybody else who would support her.
Right.
So he says, yeah. Mm-hmm. So he says, your sister talks bad things about you. So I'm not going over there anymore, and you shouldn't either. And so by pretending to care about her,
isolate and control.
He isolates, and then he gets isolated and control. Boy. And one of the things we want to do that we are sure that we're going to do in this book is that one of the isolation things that's so scary is that these women get more and more isolated.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because they don't know, they think they're must be the only one going through this.
Yeah,
and
we
want to tell them you're not the only one and there's a way to get out and there's a way to
Which is probably why they don't come forth because they feel foolish. Nobody else will understand this.
Well, and to the point of foolish, though, let me just say this. I know you ladies focus, we talked about it before the show, Carolyn and I, you know, the focus is on where the women are the abused party. Mm-hmm. Okay? Let me just be very clear. It can happen
both
ways as easily.
And it's actually on an increase where female batterers are actually
I've heard that. Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Right.
It's on the increase.
Right. And, you know, I just wanted to clear that up. Now, I have a question. The seven characteristics, would have anything to do with Stephen Covey? Like, as far as no. where you got the title from?
I didn't even
from?
Think about that. No. No, it actually came from the Seven Dwarfs when she went to Disneyland.
The Seven Dwarfs?
Because she had just taken her, she had just taken her grandson to Disneyland.
I think that's cool.
Yeah, originally it was
Grumpy, Sleepy,
like,
Doc.
Right. Yeah, right?
Well, because, you know, we talk about language, you talk about communication, right? There's certain combinations of
so
things
that's
like
I
titles
never thought
of
about
books
that.
And things like yeah. that.
We'll ask him
that
for
resonate.
An endorsement.
Yeah.
Well, and there's like there's certain numbers that kind of ring. With.
Seven is
12,
a good yeah.
seven. Yeah. Yeah. You know, yeah. these are things. 12 reasons.
Like if you had said 13, 13 yeah. characteristic, yeah. it would
no,
have
no,
a different
no, no.
tint to it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So again, the importance of language. Okay,
exactly.
when you open your mouth and you decide what you're going to say, you decide what you're going to do as a reaction to something. That is a decision that will have ramifications,
exactly.
positive or negative.
Or negative.
Your choice.
Yeah. So this book is it's going to be hopefully published by October Domestic Violence
right.
Awareness Month. It's not available right now, but we you know you can contact Carolyn and myself. You put
and
in your order.
Do? Yeah. How do we contact that? You?
Well, you can reach me through my website at TanyaBrown.net.
And spell Tanya.
T-A-N-Y-A. Brown like the color .net and the website that you see is actually coming down. I'm revamping everything. My content, it's going to be a great new site. But email me through there. And also Carolyn, you can reach her through.
Well, right now I have the Facebook page called Carolyn Inman Stop Domestic Abuse.
And okay. spell that.
Spell, yeah, spell your last name especially.
Yeah. Inman, I-N as in Nancy, M. O N.
Okay. Inman. Actually, probably you should spell the first one too, because it's
Carolyn with a Y.
That's
right.
true. Yeah. Carolyn.
All right.
And the website is in progress and will be up shortly yeah. with the same name.
Okay. So I'm gonna since we are all about language, and I kind of alluded to it a little bit, but we kind of got sidetracked. Here's the question. The question is for boomers, or how to define boomers that are trying to define themselves, and we're having all these dialogues to try to develop the language by which to define our experience mm-hmm. as people that are above 65 now, because the language from before
right.
does not do it justice. We don't have the way to define this experience, and this show hopefully helps towards that. Used to be hippies,
mm-hmm.
then became yuppies.
Uh-huh. What do we call
so
ourselves
at this stage,
now?
At this stage of life, what do boomers call themselves?
I don't know what they call themselves, but the way I see retirement.
It ain't old. It ain't aging.
Not,
it ain't
not senior.
Vibrant. Right. Vibrant.
Yeah.
Sassy.
You know what it is? The most important word to me, especially when I was on the senior council and went to the senior center, which is a great place, even though.
But see, I wouldn't even go to a place called senior council or senior center because I won't.
Well, we're going to have Carolyn come back again and talk specifically about that because I really want to know about
okay.
that.
Okay. So I think the word is opportunity. For me, I worked 12 hours a day for 40 years, you know,
yeah.
and I didn't have time to do community service. I didn't have time to write real speeches. I was working with kids doing competitive speeches. And so now I and many people I know, it's an opportunity to do what you didn't have time to do, what you want to do. And that can include sitting on the couch doing nothing.
That's as
and
valid
that is,
a choice.
That's as yeah. yeah, all choices are fine.
This will be good.
You know,
well, I wish we had more time to finish it out, but we're done for the day.
Thank you, ladies, for joining us on The Rad Life.
Yeah,
right.
thanks.
And how do we reach you, Rad, if anybody wants to?
You can call me on my cell, 949-212-8299.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Don't abuse it, because I will have you on the show and I'll out you as an abuser. Okay. So, and or you can email me at rod.gantos@gmail.com, but I'll spell it R-A-A-D period G-H-A-N-T-O-U-S @gmail.com.
All right. I'll play the outro this time, not the
play the outro.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gantos, brought to you on the one and only OCTalkRadio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.